Welcome to the PrivCap podcast.
On today's episode, Harvard Business School professor Josh Lerner discusses the benefits of sharing carry split information with investors, the end of the 2 and 20 split, and what LPs are looking for from today's managers. Josh, you're the director of the Private Capital Research Institute. How did that platform develop?
One of the main pushes, of course, is about the data, creating an academic data set that users from who are at universities and research institutions around the world can use. And today we have a little more than half of the 100 largest private equity groups that have agreed to participate in the effort and have in large part contributed data. And that data has been melded together into a data set which we have close to a dozen academics from three continents and working on a whole variety of projects from looking at larger buyouts to the most early stage of investments.
You recently completed research on the carry split within the partnership. Why should GPs share that information with investors?
It seems there are people who may be founders who may be holding on to a large slice of the organization, but at the same time very deeply want to create an organization that's going to outlive them. And certainly for those people, I think it is important that they think perhaps a little bit more about the consequences of the ownership decisions and what it's going to mean for their desire to create a legacy at the firm. For the limited partners, it's perhaps more straightforward. Certainly most limited partners that I know aren't trying to just simply pick one good fund to invest in. They're trying to have a relatively finite number of relationships where they invest fund after fund after fund. And certainly what this suggests is that in terms of things to wait during the due diligence process, perhaps there should be even greater weight put on the division of the economics within the organizations, since this seems to have big consequences for the continuity of the organizations going forward.
You recently held an event with ILPA. What were some of the highlights?
When you think about the major surprises that came out of it, certainly one was the challenges that limited partners are facing, and certainly there was considerable conversation around some of the concerns around special deals that some limited partners may be getting and the way in which that introduced a challenge in terms of trying to ensure alignment across the limited partners in a given fund to step up if, for instance, there were some problematic governance practices or other kinds of issues going on. We also heard a lot about the challenges of innovation and how a number of groups that seem to have quite creative ideas ran into a lot of pushback when they went to the market with those, that there was a lot of forces from investment committees to just simply the press of daily business that led people allocating funds at pensions and others to just push people to do more of the same rather than come up with serious innovation.
Are you optimistic that the industry will adopt some of these more innovative structures?
I feel like I've been one of these people saying the industry structure is crazy, right? That the 2 and 20 may have made tremendous sense when we were in an era of $20 million funds. It doesn't seem to make nearly as much sense when we're in an era of $20 billion funds. You know, 10-year fund lives, you know, are very appropriate for some investments, but for many investments, they're either too short or too long. I also realized that I started saying this around 1995 and that for most of the two decades, there hasn't been a lot of change despite my imminent predictions that changes are imminent. So the being wrong so many times has introduced a degree of caution in my clairvoyant efforts. But that being said, I do feel that the combination of the emergence of some extremely large and sophisticated limited partners on the one hand, the difficulties in terms of the industry with more competition and sort of a shakeout on the other, and a whole variety of other changes are leading to an era where these much talked about but long delayed changes are really going to effectuate themselves in the years to come.
We're in the middle of a strong cycle for private equity. How far along in the cycle do you think we are today?
It's clearly been a great period for exiting deals. I guess the problem has been really more on the coming into transactions, right? In the sense that certainly prices have been high and competition has been pretty brutal for certainly at least the more plain vanilla deals. And Certainly one of the manifestations of this has been groups, you know, moving out of their comfort zone, going to minority deals, going to other kinds of, you know, less traditional kinds of transactions. Certainly my sense is that we are probably going to see a more competitive industry going forward. Certainly when you look at the rate of return of private equity by decade, it has headed south. And I do think it's going to be a more challenging time in terms of putting money to work and generating superior returns. That being said, there certainly seems to be an enormous pressure in terms of money coming into the industry from pension funds who are looking at the kind of promises they made in terms of returns and seeing that it's very unlikely that public markets are going to generate those things, to sovereign wealth funds who have had a lot of pressures in terms of redemptions and so forth.
You recently held an event in Silicon Valley. Are you seeing a convergence between PE and VC investors?
It's fair to say that there is certainly some more crossing of venture capital and private equity than was the case in the past, right? When the early technology buyout funds were created, Francisco, Silver Lake, and the like, you know, there was a sense that this was just simply a crazy idea and that technology companies weren't suitable for buyouts. And clearly they proved many times over that technology buyouts could and indeed did work. And clearly today, when you look at major buyout groups of almost every stripe, they will have a technology practice area. You see a few examples of sort of crossovers. By and large, buyout guys haven't done terribly well when they've played venture capitalist, and venture guys' forays into the buyout land have been mixed as well.